So for this morning, I do want to pursue the same theme. We'll get back to themes here, at least for this Sunday. And we've kind of stayed off of those for the last few weeks. But we are going to pursue the same theme today, which is the theme of freedom. Freedom, right? Romans chapter 6, I believe, is where you were this morning. For us, we're going to be looking at the same author, just a different letter. And that's going to be in Galatians chapter 5. So if you'd like to go ahead and turn there, we'll be there shortly. We're going to talk through some things here initially, all right? So if you don't have a Bible, as always, that text is on the wall or it's in your bulletin. You can follow along there, okay? But before we get into freedom, or where we're headed in the text anyway, let's talk about freedom. There's all sorts of ways we could go when it relates to freedom, right? We could spend hours talking many different directions. So for our time together, I want to try to give an illustration to start, and then maybe that will help lead us where we're going today. So let's just ask this question. Have you ever had an animal in a cage? All right, so most of us have probably had that. Have you ever had a bird in a cage? Pet bird? Or you've ever seen a bird in a cage? All right. What ability does that bird have to free itself from that cage? All right. Now, if we shut the door and we put a padlock on it, all right, what ability does that bird have to get out? It's not coming out, right? Unless somebody opens the padlock and takes it off and opens the door and then lets the bird fly, all right, lets it free. And so I want to try to use that analogy today, talking about the cage. Because you and I, whether we realize it or not, we've put ourselves into a cage. And the cage is our sin, right? And there is a door on that cage with a lock on it. And here's the reality. Just like that bird can't unlock the lock and open the door and get out of the cage, you and I have no ability on our own to open the door and get out of the sin cage, right? And there's nothing I can do to free myself from that cage I've put myself in. And so fortunately, there is someone who is a very good, he's an expert locksmith. And he comes along and he unlocks locks and he opens doors freely for anyone who will call because he wants to set this creation free. Right? When you set that bird free, what's it do? Or that animal free, what's it do? It flies away or it takes off. I don't know if you've ever seen, I think it's Turtle Man or something like that. I've caught a few of these episodes. This guy in Kentucky, I believe, goes around and catches animals that have strayed into people's homes or barns, sheds, businesses. And he'll put them in a cage or he'll put them in a bag. And then he takes them to a preserve and he lets them go. So when he opens that cage, you'll see these animals step out initially and they kind of look around. And then they do what? They take off. Right? Never have I seen him open the cage and an animal step out and go, eh, and go back into the cage and just lay down. Right? Because it's been created to go free. If it's a bird, it's been created to fly. And you and I, friends, we've been created to be free. Just like we've sung today and just like you were taught in your classes this morning for some of you here. We've been created to be free. And so Paul's going to try to remind us of that truth. So in Galatians 5, let's turn there if we're not there already, and we'll see this, all right? He's writing to some people here just to try to remind them that they are free. And they really are free, and that means something. And so we're going to try to apply these first 14 verses to our lives here today, and maybe it will help us as we walk out of here to live more like Christ. So Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, this is a reflection back on chapter 4. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you how much? Nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You've become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. And you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, we eagerly await the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. It's faith working through love. You ran well. Who is it that's hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. See, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. But I have confidence in you and the Lord that you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you, he'll bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself, or as yourself. So it is this morning. I want to look together through these first 14 verses and try to really lay a hand on what it looks like to live in freedom. All right, because we have been created to be set free. So if you're following along in your bulletin, we'll note three of these here as we progress through the message this morning. So the initial one is this: we've been set free to live in freedom. We've been set free to live in freedom. You may say, now that sounds kind of simple, and it does. But that is exactly what Paul says. We have been set free to live in freedom. So, for people who've put their faith in Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian here today, you've recognized Jesus as your Savior, knowing that you needed Him, and you've called out to Him, asking Him to save you, friend, then He has set you free just as He has me. In that context of that analogy, that illustration, He has opened the door to our cage. And what He is saying is, go, get out, fly. Because that's what you've been created to do. You've not been made for the cage. Now here's the deal. We've got a role to play. We've got to get out of the cage. Right? Sometimes we may find ourselves wanting to stay in the cage. We've got a role. He's going to open the door. He's provided the way. There's no other way to be free except through Jesus. But we've got to reach out. We've got to call to Him. We've got to receive what it is that He has given us. And so let's go back to verse 1 here, and let's look at what this freedom looks like. We'll hit that in just a minute, but let's hit verse 1. Paul says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Now that sounds kind of redundant, doesn't it? I mean, why else do you set something free? We don't set it free so that it's enslaved. We set it free so that it will live in freedom. And that's what Paul's trying to say here. You've been set free, and now you're finding yourselves trying to attain your own salvation by doing good works or by obeying these certain laws, and it just doesn't work that way. You've been created to live in the freedom. So live in it. Right? When God set us free through His grace, it was freedom from ever trying to earn what it is that we might think we could do to make Him love us. Freedom to remove anything that might make us feel like we owe Him something, or He in return owes us for what it is that we have done. And so He says, live in your freedom. Live under that grace. Live under that forgiveness. Live as that door is open. See, often I talk with Christians who are beat down by their past. And they feel like they can't do anything because they've dishonored God, or they've got all these excuses. Why? But we need to let that lay low, and we need to raise high that we've been set free. Right? And who opened the door? Jesus. And so it's not us. So even when I messed it up, I'm still free. And even though I've messed it up, I need to live in that freedom. So I shouldn't be beat down. I shouldn't be discouraged. I shouldn't be worried. I need to trust that what it is God has said, that I've been set free through His Son Jesus, is true. And live as a free person. Just like that animal who comes out of the cage and looks around and takes off. We need to soar in that freedom. We need to run in the freedom that we've been created to live in. And yet sometimes I find myself even longing for the cage. Desiring the cage. You ever been there? Back where it was a little bit easier. Back where things were more comfortable. Where there really wasn't a whole lot required of you. And you could live how you wanted to. You could be selfish. Do life your way. It seemed to feel more natural there. I seemed to be more inclined sometimes to want to be there. And I'm not the only one. Think back about a woman who was married to a guy named Lot. You remember her? God says, I'm going to destroy this city, Sodom and Gomorrah, and you guys need to get out. So Lot and his wife take off. What does Lot's wife do? She turns around. And that turning is symbolic of a desire for the cage. I've been set free, but there's something about it, and I just want to go back. That's where I want to be. Think about the Israelite people. Over 400 years, they were slaves in Egypt. You ever been a slave? Be careful how you answer that. All right, so we don't really even know what that looks like. Work all day and really not get paid. Live in a little hut, Right? Have enough food just to sustain you and get up and do it all over again until you die. And that's what these people were doing over and over again. Here comes the expert locksmith to open the cage. And he's doing it through Moses. He says, let my people go. And finally these people are let go to soar. And they get out and live and they love it for a while. But then difficulties come. And then they get a little bit afraid. And then what do they start doing? Oh, let's go back to the cage. Let's go back to Egypt. See, but they've not been created to be enslaved. They've been created to be free. And so it is with you and I today. We've been created to live in this freedom. So though I may experience difficulty, though life may sometimes be challenging, though you may think back in that cage would be a little more comfortable, you've got to remember what bound you in that cage. You had no way on your own to get out of that cage, neither did I. It was my own sin that locked me there. It was my own sin that kept me there. It was my own good deeds trying to get out of the cage that kept me sustained in the cage. And so I've got to learn and remind myself over and over again that the cage is not my home. I've been freed, therefore I should live in that freedom. I've been freed from my sin. We've sung it this morning. I've been set free from those shackles that bound me to my past. And so I don't need to let that past haunt me. We talk about forgiveness and we talk about how God forgets, does He? Yes, He does. So you and I may remember there's a song where a guy's laying out his heart and saying, I'm sorry for this sin I've committed. And he's confessed it several times. And God's response in the chorus is, what sin? What are you talking about? See, that's what we've got to get to live in that place of freedom where God sees us. Rather than staying shackled to our past as somebody who doesn't really deserve to be out of the cage. And we'll just fly around the cage. This is all we need to go out and soar and live. And trust that the grace, the one who is now sitting on the throne, the one who is now the master locksmith of our life, knows what's best for us. He is in charge and He's the one that we submit to. Now here's the truth of the matter before we progress. We have an adversary, right? We have a guy working against us and he would love nothing more than a desire to start creeping up in us for the cage. Listen, you think you're free, but you're really not. And look at all these things they got you doing. You're supposed to show up. You're supposed to sing a song. You're supposed to give some money. You're supposed to serve. You're supposed to be selfless. And you're not free. You're more of a slave now than you've ever been. Go back to the cage. He wants to deceive us. He wants to try to tempt us. He wants to cause doubt in our minds so that we'll go back just to being shackled to that sin nature. And so here's what we've got to remember. Jesus told us something about being free. John 8:36, the Bible says, if the Son has set you free, guess what? And you're free indeed. You're absolutely free. And so though you have a past and though I have a past also, I'm not shackled to it because the lock has been removed, the door has been opened, and I've been freed from my past. Therefore, Corey, therefore, church, live in that freedom. Enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Love the grace of God. Yes, we've all got this shady side, but it's been forgiven. It's been dealt with. And in God's eyes, it's gone. Right? Live in freedom. Paul was trying to urge the people. You're not just set free. You've been set free to live free. And so live under that grace. Don't bind yourself by that old law. And so we're to live. Live in the freedom. Those who've been set free need to live in that freedom. Let's go to the second thought or second point here this morning. Not only have we been set free to live in freedom, we've been set free from trying to earn our freedom. We've been set free from trying to earn our freedom. So it's not just that God, through Jesus, opened the door and let us free, but what sustains our freedom is the same Jesus, right? So He's not saying, I'm going to get you through the door, and then at that point, Corey, it's up to you. You do your part. You earn that salvation. I'm coming halfway, you come the other half. Well, He went all the way and opened the door. And what He says then, therefore, you don't have to earn it, right? Because then it's not a gift. When I earn something, it's what I deserve. It's what I've worked for. And so God freely gifted to us something we could never deserve, never earn, never get on our own. And that's the gift of Christ. So back in this day, there were some groups of people who were trying to get others, especially these Christians, to say, well, you need to follow these steps before you can become a Christian. there were some who were saying, Judaizers, who would say this, if you're going to come to Christ, you need to first convert to a Jew, and then you can come to Christ. Okay? So you convert to Judaism, you follow X, Y, Z, and Paul talks here specifically of circumcision. You circumcise yourself and prove that you're a Jew, then you can come to Christ. Is that how it works? No, and that's exactly what Paul was trying to stand against. And we may think that that's far-fetched, but it's really not. I've had a conversation with a guy in my front yard here not too long ago, and he wanted to be saved. And he knew that he was a sinner in need of Jesus, and he wanted Jesus. But what he said to me is, but I know I still have a lot of things I need to do. Like there's a whole big portion of this process of coming to Jesus. Like what he was saying in his mind is this, I don't really go to church. So I need to get more, I need to go and be faithful to church. I don't really read my Bible, and so I probably should start reading my Bible. And I'm not doing a whole lot in my community, so I'll start doing some good stuff. And I'm kind of young, so I'm going to grow up. Then I think I'll be saved. Right? What is that? That's enslavement. That's coming out of the cage, I'm free, and turning right back around, flying into the cage. Because there's no way that we sustain ourselves outside the cage. And so I tried to explain to that guy, it's not about doing, it's not clean your life up first and come to Jesus. It's come to Jesus, and then He'll help establish these roots and priorities. He'll create depth within you. You just come to Him as you are. And so that's kind of where that conversation was left off with that gentleman. But let's look at what Paul says, how he addresses people who have similar ideas. Verse 2, Galatians 5, he says, mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he's obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ, and you have fallen away from grace. And so just as we stated here, the deal with these people was circumcision. If you want to come to Christ, you've got to be circumcised. Circumcised to become a Jew. And then you can come to Jesus and you can find the freedom that we're talking about. And what Paul is saying, there's just no way. There's no way. And he makes it really clear, right? He says, go ahead and be circumcised. But if you're going to follow that law, how much of the rest of the law do you need to follow? All of it. And when you follow all the law completely, then you'll be saved. And what he is saying to them is, if that's how you're going to play, you'll never be saved. Because no one, based on their own merit, can earn salvation. Christ will be of nothing to you. And here you've heard the truth and received grace. You would be as one who has fallen away from grace, trying to earn the freedom that Christ bought for you when He opened the door to that cage. And so He has set us free. Free to live this life in freedom. And free to also live here and stop trying to earn that freedom. Right? And sometimes I think we live there as well. We'll come in on a Sunday and feel like we've really messed up this week. And we've sinned, or we've told a lie, or we've had thoughts that we shouldn't have had, or looked at something we shouldn't. We were arguing with somebody, or we were disrespectful. And we feel like a less than. All right? What that says then is, now I should mourn my sin, but I've got to still yet live under the grace, because it's the same grace that set me free initially that sustains me even though I'm floundering. All right? We've got to learn to live in that freedom and escape from trying to earn that freedom. We've been set free not to earn what was freely given, but to live in that freedom. And here again, that work all belongs to Jesus, right? That's all Him. That's all Him. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that going to church is not important. I'm not saying that reading your Bible is not important. I'm not saying that giving and serving in our community. Those are all important things. Those are all reflections of Christ. Those are all examples of willing obedience. But they don't have anything to do with setting us free. Nor do they have anything to do with keeping us free. You've been set free, he says. Therefore, live in that freedom. And here's one of the things he outlines as to how that freedom should be lived. Those who are set free, number three, will lovingly serve others. They will lovingly serve others. So when we're talking about freedom in Christ, This isn't, hey, let's just go crazy. What do you want to do today? Anybody? I'm free, so let's go tear something up. Let's go burn down a building. Let's go rob a bank. Let's go just have fun. Whatever we want to do, just go do it. That's not what he's saying. It's not that you're set free to go live crazy. If that's the way that we're thinking, all we've done is made a big U-turn. I've been set free, and now I'm right back into selfishness. I'm right back into pleasing myself. I'm right back in the cage, back to slavery. And so it's not about just go wild or live without law or not follow commands. It's now you've been set free from a nature that was robbing you of the ability to live in ways that honor the Lord. And so in setting us free, he has instilled, he has infused within us his nature, which now overrules that old nature. And so now I'm to live in ways that I've been created. And that's the beauty of it. Right? We've been created to live, to please, and honor the Lord in every way. In every way. Right? That's how it should look in my life, in your life. Live to please the Lord. That's my created purpose. So it's not about, you know, doing the job, making the cash so I can get the stuff and live the good life. And maybe you find yourself there. You've been there. I've been there for a few years. Worked the job and worked a little bit extra to have a little extra to try to do some extra with. You work for the weekend, and what comes after the weekend? Work. And you do it all over again. And it's the monotony of a lifeless life. That's not how we've been created. We've been created to live to please the Lord. That's true life. And apart from being free, all we do is please self. That makes sense? So he set us free. Now we have the ability to please him. Now we have the ability to honor him. Now we have the ability to live in what we've been created to do. And all that has come through the door of that cage opening once again through Jesus. So let's look here at how Paul outlines what it looks like to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Verse 14 says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. See, we've been created to be humble servants. Now, I don't know about you. I do know about you. When I'm anything less than a humble servant, my life gets in trouble. And I find myself at odds with God. I'm rebellious against his commands. I'm not as sensitive to the prodding in his life because I want to do what I want to do. So I'm not living as that humble servant. So I've been created to be a giver, just as God is a giver. Remember when Jesus said it's better to give than what? To receive. Was he talking about Christmas? I mean, it can include that. Was he talking about birthdays? No, he was saying it really is better to live this life as a giver, letting it flow out, than always looking for everything to flow to you, to please yourself. You've been created to be a giver, and when you've been set free from the cage, now you can live that life. And I'm telling you, there's no better life to live than a life that is free in Christ. And I don't mean just that I'm forgiven and my sins have been taken care of, that's for sure, but living the purpose that I've been put here to accomplish. Living in your sweet spot, doing what God has created you to do. There's nothing greater, nothing more enjoyable than living life that way. And so Paul is saying that you've not been set here to indulge yourself. That's not freedom. You've been set free to accomplish the very purpose that Christ has established you here for. And so live in that. Humbly serve others, for in doing so, you fulfill the whole law. Wasn't it Jesus who said, you've got two commandments? The greatest one is, love the Lord your God with all you've got. And love others as you love yourself. And in so doing, you fulfill everything. In so doing, we fulfill what we've been created to do or who we've been created to become. And so my sinfulness has positioned me in a cage of rebellion, in a position of obstinance and arrogance against God. But in Jesus, what I've found is I've been set free from that cage. He's opened the door. He sustained me. I've never earned it. So that when I fly out of that thing, I can now live the way that I've been created to live. He doesn't want me to be a caged bird, and he doesn't want you to be a caged bird. surrounded by my sin, stuck in my selfishness, worried about everything else, afraid of all things. He's come along and said, I've set you free for a purpose. Now live in that freedom. You've been called to freedom, not to indulge yourself, but to humbly serve others. And in so doing, you fulfill that law. Friend, you've been created not only to be set free, but to live in that freedom. And I hope that you will. I want to challenge you and encourage you today to embrace that. Because God's word tells us today that we are free. Therefore, live as those who've been free. Enjoy the freedom. Enjoy the freedom. That doesn't mean live crazy. That doesn't mean I can do whatever I want. And if it offends you, I don't care. No, living the freedom means I now have a nature that allows me to live in obedience to the word of God. Where I love Him and I live to please and honor Him. The truth of the matter is today, friend, He'll open that door for anybody. He'll open that door for anybody. And all He's asking us to do is ask. See, the expert locksmith knows the code. He's got the key and He's the only one that lets us free. And if you'll ask here today, His promise is, you call, I'll set you free. I'll save you. I'll remove your sin. I'll fill you with purpose. I've created you to soar. So get out of that cage, trusting wholly in Jesus Christ, and fulfill the very thing that He's created you to do. Love the Lord with all your heart, and love others as you love yourself. What I wonder here this morning as we close is this. Have you really been set free? Have you really been set free? And by that I mean, have you recognized that you're a sinner in desperate need of a Savior? I believe it was John Newton who said, there are two things that I know for sure. One is I'm a great sinner, and the other is Christ is a great Savior. And for anyone today, you may feel like the worst sinner on the planet. That's all right. The locksmith owns the code to the lock. And you ask Him to free you from that, and He certainly will. Maybe this morning you would like to ask to be set free. It's really simple. You acknowledge that you've sinned, that you desperately need Jesus. You receive what He's done on your behalf. Will you forgive me for my sins? And then you trust in Him as your only hope. Maybe you'd like to do that here today. Maybe you find yourself here, though, as somebody who's trying to earn that salvation. And I would say it from time to time, we all find ourselves there. I know He set me free and we live in that for a day or two and then we mess up and we're just down in the dumps. I can't believe I didn't read my Bible today. I guess God just knocked me down a notch. I guess His love is a little bit less towards me today. Friend, He didn't love you when you, or He did love you when you weren't reading His Bible. Right? And He did love you and me when we were careless towards Him. And so what makes us think that all of a sudden His love towards us depends on the good or bad things that we do? We've got an adversary who's working against us. You don't deserve His love, especially when you don't read His word. You don't deserve His love, friend. You haven't prayed. You don't deserve that love. You haven't served anybody. Look how selfish you are with your money. You're uncommitted as anybody to the church. You don't love what He loves. Does that sound like the Lord? Does that sound like love? No. All right? God's love is pure. It's been there from the beginning. We love Him, John said, because He first loved us. Got to keep that order right. He set me free when I was a rascal. And He's kept me free as a Christian rascal who's continuing to grow under His grace and in His knowledge. And so are you living today free, or are you trying to earn that freedom? And then I just wonder, are you living in the joy of these truths? And are you really going out and just not letting your past hinder your present? We talked here a couple of weeks ago about not letting our past tell us who our future person will be. So can I really trust that I'm not going to be hindered by my past because of what Jesus has done for me? Can I live in the joy and the freedom that He has brought and bought for me? Again, Jesus made it very simple. You want to know what life is? You want to know what it means to be free? Love God, love others. This is life. This is life. Friend, you've been created to be set free. I just wonder today, are you living that way?